Hello, welcome to the Will to DIY. This podcast is a place for me to sandbox ideas, play with them, tinker with them, build on them, or perhaps just throw them away and get back to work.
So we all have this list of chores. It can be installing security cameras, or just cleaning up the yard, or learning how to code Java, or something super banal like just taking out the trash, right? And some of these require a lot of physicality. Some of them will require, I guess, mental endurance or some sort of mental discipline to get done. And I think during this quarantine, there's this problem where we're not supposed to go to the store. I went to the store the other day as Lowe's, and it was absolutely packed. And this really signals to me a change in the way that we're thinking about things as far as how our task list and chore list has become this vital, important things. You need to go to the store in order to complete your tasks. To repair your faucet, you're going to need a gasket. To fix a sticky door, well, I don't know what you do, but I'm pretty sure you would look it up online and then figure out it's easier to buy a new house than to fix that door. But really, there's something about this attitude towards our DIY list. And during the quarantine, I've noticed that the attitude towards it has increased. And there's this tendency towards more and more labor, and we're moving it up in the priority list, which I think is a little bit insane, the idea that we'd be willing to risk death in order to achieve our chore list or our DIY list. I think what really happens here is that we have championed a certain set of ideas, and there are certain tasks that we can do, and so we're taking advantage of the things that we can do that we're capable of. And there's other things that we can't control, and so we don't know what to do, but we need to stay busy. We need to stay active. And I think part of it is the proximity. When we're stuck at home, all of a sudden all the home problems become something that we're seeing every day, and they start to nag on us. And our tendency to want to work all the time, to spend our leisure time actually working instead of leisuring, I think that this has really been compounded due to this sort of quarantine or stay-at-home order. In French, I've heard that there's two terms for chores. One of them is actually chores, and the other is housework. Housework is really these kind of simple daily tasks that you just have to do, and you don't really think of them as chores or anything else, but chores itself seems to have this more dread or ominous component to it, something that you really despise doing or don't want to do. And I think that there's something about the attitude here that's kind of important to be able to distinguish between how your language and culture end up handling the tasks that you have to take on. I think this attitude gets developed, and we end up with a perception of certain tasks. If everything we do is an onerous chore, then we haven't built a framework in which to categorize other things. If everything is either a hobby or a chore, we don't have a middle ground. I think you can make anything somewhat exciting if you kind of shift your attitude on it. So if repairing the stuck door is a chore, you'll find it a bore. If repairing the faucet is thrilling, then you enjoy developing your skilling. You know, we can, even if we're going to do something really dumb and awful like a rhyme, we can all manipulate ourselves like we're five-year-old kids. And that's just a choice, but we need to set up a framework in order to make that happen. And this kind of reminds me of Mark Twain's Tom Sawyer, and how he convinces all these neighborhood kids that basically not just any boy gets to whitewash a picket fence, until he ends up having all of them gleefully doing his work for him. And there's some quotes out of it where you can read the link and the story yourself, but really what happens is he basically says, work consists of whatever a body is obliged to do, and play consists of whatever a body is not obliged to do. So this difference between work and play is allowing you to choose. And this is what we used to do when I taught elementary school, is you give a kid two choices, but neither one of them is the one he wants to do, but they end up choosing one. And then because they made the choice, then all of a sudden they're okay with the decision. But this sort of authoritarian squashing down of only one avenue is one of the things that people rebel against and find super annoying. Let's maybe think of it this way too, that this attitude shift that's possible for us is really a version of propaganda to create a sort of productive enthusiasm. And if along the way, sort of these Tom Sawyer's boyhood friends are sort of duped, but they learn somehow that fulfillment from a physical task well accomplished is really a reward unto itself, then you start thinking to yourself, well, maybe this being duped is actually a net good. Maybe you have to lie to people in order to get them to realize a sort of positive end game for something like menial labor. I think really the charlatan with the silver tongue here, the Tom Sawyer character, is worse off in a couple of ways. First, his joy really comes from manipulating others. This is what he learns, while theirs comes from constructive action. So he doesn't really change his attitude towards labor. He changes their attitude. Secondly, I think that because his intelligence is bent to avoiding labor, this prevents him from discovering pleasure in any kind of methodical, repetitive physical task. So in a weird way, this sort of cognitariat is to think yourself out of one discovery and into another discovery. Maybe this parable really shows us what our culture prizes. To the young reader, then the protagonist here, the Tom Sawyer character, is this lazy, talkative trickster who creates a net good despite his own sort of short-sighted duplicity. This is sort of an ends justify the means culture in which all is forgiven if the net happiness and productivity is higher. So if you use this kind of metric, this utilitarianism, and you have a metric that's based on happiness and productivity, then you end up with this kind of rationalization for a type of trickle-down economics where the manipulator says, you're better off under me than on your own, because at the end, everyone's going to be happier if you just let me dupe you. So I think maybe this is the end of this podcast, but I want to, in the next podcast, get into how this applies to the chore of learning and how the duper actually sort of becomes our hero.